Hello, and welcome to the February edition of the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show. On today's show, we'll be talking Black History Month and encouraging individuals to get into the professions. So, John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Yeah, hey, welcome, everybody. We're glad to be back. Fab Lab is proud to be going into its second year of doing these radio broadcasts, and we're really excited to be here. I'm John Zern. I am the coordinator for Gateway Industrial Design Fab Lab, which is part of the engineering wing at IMET Center, SC Johnson IMET Center in Sturtevant. And my other
I'm host. Steve Whitmoyer. Hi, everyone. And I'm a construction sciences instructor for civil engineering, architecture, land survey, all the different professions in construction sciences.
Yeah, and today we have a very special program for you. Our guests are Dr. Lopez. Is it Samuel Lopez? Yes?
Yes, Dr. Samuel Lopez.
And we have George Morgan, who is a graduate of our civil program.
Yes.
For those of you who are listeners and on a regular basis.
Thank you, by the way, for being a listener.
Thank you. All three of you, right?
We got a lot out there.
Last year, February, we tried to highlight Black History Month. It's really an amazing month where we really focus on African-American culture in the United States and how much vibrancy it really brings to us as a people. Last year, we had a team on that developed a Black Wall Street exhibition. It was an amazing show. Find it in the archives if you want to listen to it. That show is thriving this year. They're looking at expanding it, connecting it to communities. So in keeping with that, this month, I'm going to let Steve introduce our subject. Steve.
Absolutely, because we're interested. One of the things that we've seen when we look at our programs is getting a nice diversity pool of individuals into the professions, being the engineering professions, the accounting professions, whatever it is, but getting people into these good-paying jobs that can sustain their family. And one of the things that we've seen over the past 5 years is a drop-off of that, where we're not getting that same percentage is dropping off compared to their other populations. And that's why we're so fortunate in Gateway here to have Dr. Lopez join us. And so before we get into the whole background of all that, what's your background? Where'd you come from? All that fun stuff.
So I'm new to the Wisconsin area, the Racine area. I most recently came from at the Atlanta, Georgia. But prior to that, my background is I've been a college professor, a tenured professor at the University of Nebraska, did an outreach program. But even before, I was a non-traditional student. And so my background actually prior to college was I was a tool and die maker. So I'm very passionate about the trades. And I'm happy to be working with you.
And the tool and die is another profession that pays really good money.
Absolutely.
And can sustain your family.
Correct. Yes. In fact, when I went to college, I would have stayed in that field, but I worked as a tool and die maker. I was on the company that worked on the solid rocket boosters for the space shuttle. And so after the Challenger disaster, I was laid off. And I took a different route, but I that's when I started college, and after 10 years I graduated with my doctorate degree in physical therapy exercise science.
Now, what's the other part that I find very, very fortunate to have you here? Not only were you in the trades, which Gateway Technical College is all about getting our employee base skill sets up across the board and finding people these good jobs, but you were also an instructor in college.
Correct. Yes, I was a professor. I worked primarily with students who were going into the healthcare field. I taught cadaver-based anatomy, which is my absolutely favorite class in the world to teach. We worked with the students at various levels of their educations to help them move along. And my outreach programs were primarily geared towards Latino students and students of color, because I found that as a first generation student myself, I had no idea how to navigate college. And so that's what brought me to doing some of these outreach programs.
Because there's a lot of different things that can come into play that inhibits a person from going forward.
Absolutely. You know, we find that with myself included, I was a father. We had six children at the time when I started college, but had to work, had to raise a family, had to navigate homework. And so there's, I think, I see with a lot of the current students here at Gateway, we see a lot of the same types of things. Is they're working parents, they're working not only as students, but as, you know, breadwinners for the family. And so there are multiple factors that come into play into being successful at the at the college level.
No, and that's what's so encouraging, because not only are you able to talk the talk, you've been there.
Absolutely.
You've been where these people are. You've had those struggles. You've overcame it, and you've made your statement. You made your mark on the world.
I like to think so. But right. I've worked with numerous students across, you know, Nebraska, North Carolina, and now here in Wisconsin. And I find that even though they have maybe different factors, they're all very similar. And so I think that we can all learn from each other and learn from our past. And know, even though everybody's different, we have a very similar type of approach.
So here at Gateway, I won't spoil it for everyone, what is your role? What are you in charge of? What do you do? What's your goals, et cetera?
So I am the director of the Men of Color Scholars Program. It's a grant-funded program that has just been developed here at Gateway. In fact, we're in our first year here. And so I am laying the foundation to put this program in place. And what we do with our program is we support men of color, but we'll support any student that needs our assistance. And we just provide a lot of one-on-one type of counseling. We do secondary academic advising. We have social events that we try to just build a community of belonging for our students here on campus.
No, and that's great, because like I said, there's so many different factors that can cause a person to go sideways while they're trying to achieve these goals.
So diversity, we always talk about it. It's very important. We see a lot of this where we are. And of course, we're Fab Lab IMET Center. So you can always find
where
out.
Where was that IMET Center? It,
you can find out information about it. You can email me at fablab.gtc.edu. SC Johnson IMET Center. That was fablab.gtc.edu. Please reach out and let us know. So what we have come to discover, and this is a principle we use a lot in the Fab Lab, is the wider range of experience and diversity you have on any team is going to strengthen it. And what I usually say to my students is, if you have one person solving a problem, you have about one brain. Actually, in my case, it's probably only about half a brain. But if you have two people problem solving, you have anywhere from four to six brains. So the idea is their backgrounds overlap differently. They can solve problems a lot more efficiently. So this is something we strive for. And before we get too much further in, I do want to introduce George Morgan. And George, as a man of color, tell us about your perspective on navigating the educational environment.
Well, just to try to, the same way as the doctor gave his background, I'm originally from Illinois, Chicago, and then a little bit further south than that, and came to Kenosha as a teenager. By the time before I became a student at Gateway, I worked as a maintenance mechanic at Cargill in Milwaukee. And at the time, they came in, corporate came in on a Wednesday, and by Friday, 400 and something of us were laid off. And when that happened, me, same as Doc, I had six kids as well. Mm-hmm. And I was the breadwinner. So trying to figure that out, it was stressful. But fortunately, there was a group in Milwaukee that quickly filed for a special grant for all of us workers, that if we didn't want to go right back into the workforce, that we can go to college and everything will be fully funded. It went through. I decided to go for it, and that's how I ended up at Gateway. And the reason why I picked civil engineering freshwater was because my background kind of had that, because of the wastewater building that we had, a facility that we had on grounds when I worked at Cargill. Mm. And I can say, coming into it, I was intimidated. At this point, I had been out of high school for, I think 15 years or so at the time.
Wow.
And so I had to learn everything over. And it was very nice to come in and meet instructors that actually cared. Mm-hmm. And I can say from my experience, and I'm not just saying this because Steve is sitting right here, he was one of the instructors that made it easy for me. That it was one thing to where 90% of my classes, if I wasn't the oldest person in the class, I was the second oldest. And so one of the things I never forget is one of the classes with Steve, you made a reference to Doogie Howser. And we were the only two in class that even know who Doogie Howser was, the show, anything. But that showed how much older I was than everybody else. But I never felt intimidated. I never felt behind. And that was strictly because of the instructors that I had that actually cared. What I've noticed is that, you know, whether it's friends or whether it's other people that I come in contact with, that because I'm fortunate enough that where I made through this program, I ended up in a place to where I'm probably one of the top earners when it comes to people that graduated in my field. And when I try to tell others that, everybody thinks that it's either A, too late, or it's just some crazy uphill battle that nobody can accomplish. But I can say, from having six kids, and my father at the time was battling cancer, and I eventually moved him in with us to help take care of him, all while I'm in school. And I was on a dean's list almost all the way through.
Right, you were.
And it can be done. I can say that, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm a martyr or anything like that, but just it can be done. It does take a lot of hard work, but I can say that the staff at Gateway, as of 6 years ago, because that's how long it's been since I've graduated,
right,
top notch. And
we're still
so
there.
Much so that through the stories and the examples I've set for my children, my middle son is about to follow the same path. He graduates this year, and he's already said that he wants to go in the same path that I'm in right now, which I work at the wastewater plant in Oak Creek, which is one of the top paying wastewater plants in the state. Well, actually the top paying in the state. And with this, and the thing about with this experience, whether it be my education or the actual work experience, I can go to any state, any city, which all have wastewater plants, and almost be able to walk in with no problem. And that job security, which I'll never have to worry about being laid off again, because as long as you flush a toilet, you have a job. So it's a beautiful thing to have at my disposal. So,
you know, I'm actually very impressed just the concept of setting foot in a classroom after 15 years. Mm. I mean, imagine how intimidating that is for a lot of people. So I'm really glad you were here to tell us that story.
But not just the intimidation of that. Everything else that was in your background was pulling you away at the time. Mm-hmm. So I still remember when you were there and we were having the discussions. We won't get into all the stuff that was going on, but there was a lot of stuff that was saying, oh, no, you shouldn't do this. Come this way.
Yep.
I mean, take the easy route.
Yep.
And you were a bulldog. You were like, no, I'm going to do this.
Because remember, my house caught on fire, too.
I know. That's what I say. I was going to bring some of that stuff.
My house caught on fire. I left class because I got the phone call that my house was
on fire. The house was on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think something that a lot of people don't understand is culturally, I think from both when I think of persons from African descent as well as the Latino community, the man is supposed to be the breadwinner. And so I got a lot of pushback from my parents, especially my father. It's like, how can you just let your wife work and you go to school?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. I remember those discussions.
Yep.
So, I think there's a lot of factors that go into being able to be a parent, to be a father, and to be a college student. I mean, it takes a lot of stamina.
It does.
But that's why one of the things when you got hired on and with this program that we brought on, I was so encouraged by that. Because like I said, especially with the male population, we've seen a dramatic drop in people coming in, even trying, because people are telling them it's too hard.
It's too hard. Yep.
There's all these other things to stop you. And to have this program in place now that reaches out and says, you can. And then having examples like George or Tyrone, who was a stock clerk at a local grocery store, and now he's an owner of a big engineering firm up in Milwaukee, a construction firm, or Kelvin, who was a seasonal garden center part-time, made it and is now a surveyor and a GIS expert for Michaels.
Yeah.
These guys are huge success stories because the process can work.
Yep.
But overcoming those things that saying it can't, and that's why having you on board is so advantageous for us to see the effect.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of us, both of your guests today, when somebody says, you know, well, I got two kids, I can't do it. It's like, you know what, I had six.
Yep.
So you can do it. You just have to put your mind to it.
And
then have the encouragement, have the support, you know, to let them know there are times when you're going to feel like you can't do it. Because I went through that.
Yes.
I mean, there were times I wanted to quit. And I had a professor or a friend, a colleague who just took me under their wing and said, yeah, you can do it. And let me help you. Because I tell you, when I was in getting my doctorate degree, I had to take neuroanatomy, the hardest class I have ever taken in my life. And I couldn't have done it without a classmate who tutored me every day,
yeah.
You know, and that's what it took. But we stuck through it, and we're here to help whoever needs that. If you need to be tutored every day, we have somebody who will do it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we're not there to give it to you. We're there to help you do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's what's critical.
Yep, and understand it may sound like it's being downplayed as far as how hard it is. It's definitely a hard task to get through it. The older that you get, the more responsibilities that you have. But I can say for me, the other side of it is beautiful, because I couldn't imagine where I was as an earner still being at that point in today's economy. I don't know how I would survive with as many kids that I have, and now I'm a grandfather and this and that. And due to the struggle that I had to go through for only 2 years, and I take trips around the country every year just because I like seeing the world, and it doesn't hurt my pocket. There's things that I've done that I couldn't have imagined 6-7 years ago. And it all started from me saying, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to take this opportunity. And behind that, my children are following in that same direction. I have a niece that decided to, she wants to be a doctor. So she started school. And at the beginning, she was going through a lot of the same issues where she thought she couldn't do or it was too hard. And we would have conversations. And she would say, hey, because of like the conversations that we would have and the things that I went through, it motivated her. And now she's months away from being a nurse and will right away jumping into going to be a doctor. So it's the inspiration that comes from the struggles that you have to go through helps the next generation and the next generation to where it doesn't have to be, oh, I can't do because.
Right, and that's where I really love the group that we have in construction sciences, because across the board we have people that have proven you can.
Yeah.
Mm. That the fear is out there, absolutely. But you get up and do the work and you can do it and be very successful at it. But the key point in all of this is that there are people out there that are willing to help you, are willing to show you, are willing to help you if you want to, if you want it, if you want to do it. And that's what people always ask me, why am I still at Gateway? And it's because I love this place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This place is amazing for the level that we're at to give that person that hand and help them out, get over that little hill that seems like a mountain. But if we just give them a little bit of help, we get huge success stories on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so amazing. That's why we enjoy it so much.
So step one, resolve. I want my life to be better,
yes,
or I want to change. It doesn't always have to be a doom and gloom scenario if you just want to move up or you're curious about this. Step two, contact Dr. Lopez, right, Dr. Lopez, right? So they'll give you an idea of what you need and what it takes. And then the careers, unbelievable. Steve, talk about some of the careers.
Sure. Even at the IMET Center, at the SC Johnson IMET Center, we have some amazing opportunities from advanced manufacturing, mechanical design, electrical engineering, CNC, robotics. There's a whole host of things, but what we're dear to, George and I, are the construction sciences, and that's civil engineering, which is public works, design stuff to make the society better. We got architectural, structural, which are building buildings, designing and construction. We have material testing, which is testing the concrete. So if you want to come in and get two semesters and get a job in material testing, we have that pathway for you. We have that pathway for land survey now. So you can come in, get your land survey and mapping, and you'll be able to go into that profession. We have a bunch of different avenues, but you gotta find what you like and find what you're passionate about. And there's places out there that can help, and that's where your department, your whole program is about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think a lot of students, they find that they choose a major or a program because, quote, it's going to make them the most money. And if you're not passionate about it,
yes,
it's really hard to be successful there. Yes. No matter how much you think you're going to earn, if you're you can earn good money and hate your life.
Yes.
You know, and so those are things that I think we try to help them decipher. Is that something that you're truly passionate about? I think about my background. I was a doctor of physical therapy, and I could have made a lot of money in the medical field, but, you know, I wasn't all that passionate about it. I absolutely love teaching, and I have found so much joy in that. And I think that's what we try to help the students is find something that it's not going to work every day. It's going to what you love to do.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. So I'm going to say, when my kids, when you hear this, remember, I just said this to you about 3 or 4 days ago. You have to have passion about what you want to do if you're going to go this route.
And the other thing is, especially young, when I was that age, I wanted to be a space engineer. That's my goal, to be where you were doing the space shuttle thing, right? That's what I wanted, I thought. And once I started looking around more, then I realized civil engineering is actually where I wanted to go. No one had ever talked about civil engineering in my family. They were all engineers design rockets and stuff like this. I'm like, okay, there's also engineers that help society.
Right.
Absolutely.
And help build and make our society great. And that's where there's a huge need for us out there that do this type of work that's not being filled right now.
Yep.
We can't get enough land surveyors. We can't get enough civil engineering techs. We can't get these people into the pipeline fast enough to get them out to be the need that we have. And as much people want to talk AI and all this scary stuff, we're still going to be building roads.
There are certain things that AI will not.
We're still going
to
flush toilets.
Yeah, we're still going to flush toilets. And like I said, we were talking about this right before we got on air, and I was saying from just at my facility alone, there's a position that hasn't been filled in 5 months because they just can't find the person that either doesn't have the whatever licenses are needed or basically the education, the work experience. So the need is out there. And this position that I'm talking about, you will be guaranteed to make a minimum of $100,000 a year. And it's not like you have to have a 4-year degree, you have to have a master's or a doctorate. You can come out making $100,000 a year.
Those positions are out there. There's a lot
of them out there that you can get your associates, or you can get like the year trade degree.
Yep.
And be able to make enough money to be able to take care of your family and then never have to worry about, oh, the company's closing, I'm getting laid off. Oh, they're cutting back on people, I'm getting laid off. You'll be able to take care of your family and retire a happy person.
Right. And even the ones when you have no background.
Right.
There's positions out there that will start off like $20 an hour, $25, but over time you're working your way up rather quickly to those positions. And it's not because there's a huge outpouring of funds available. It's because the need's out there.
Yep.
It's the need that drives the price.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that was one of the things. So I used to get in trouble sometimes with my university because I would tell students, you don't have to go to the university to have a good paying job.
Yes.
And I worked closely with all of the community college and the tech schools in our area because that's, like you said, somebody always needs a plumber. Somebody always needs an electrician, you know, and not everybody has to be a doctor or a lawyer. And so it didn't go over well with all the admissions office, but, you know, I was there to serve students and the community. And I think that's what I love about Gateway is that's what we do. We serve students. We serve the community.
And that's why you're such a good fit here, because that's our whole mantra. Mm-hmm. We're about finding those access to those points and getting people into those points. Now, the funny part is, in terms of all that, you still need a skill to get hired. Yes. You may not need the degree comes, but you need that skill. Mm-hmm. And that skill is what we are really good at developing.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and not to move on too quickly here, but a couple of things we want to talk about. Since the pandemic, we've seen a trend of less enrollment of African American in these programs. And then Steve also wants to talk a little bit about notable African Americans in this program. Steve, start with the trend and then go to the
sure.
Put your stamp on.
And Dr. Lopez, you can jump in on this one too. We've seen since COVID a significant drop in males specifically mm-hmm. entering these higher paying positions, be it the trades or whatever. We're not getting the traction we used to. And so that's what's encouraging about having you on board to address that.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that we were focusing on with our program is doing some outreach, because we do have male students who are coming, but they're not finishing. And so that's actually what our grant is. It's called a completion grant. And so we provide, like I said, the one-on-one counseling, academic support, sometimes just the social support. But our goal is to see our graduation and completion rates improve. Right now, when we look at the black African-American male graduation rate at our campus, is only about 15% who start. And that's less than half of what our total graduation rate for the campus. And it's very similar to what we see across the country. And so a program like this is extremely important in not only helping them find the program that they enjoy or be passionate about, but help them find a way to make sure that they complete it. And so that's the goal of this project, is to get our students to completion.
Because one of the things that we show, and it's awesome when we see the old photos of people that succeeded, like Benjamin, who was one of the surveyors for Washington, D.C., and some of the old architects that laid out Tuskegee University from MIT, all the people that came first, those are great. But having in our midst people like George and Tyrone and Calvin, who actually, and like yourself, have done it now, not 100 years ago, right. But you're doing it now. And that's what's really encouraging about the success that we have.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what one of our goals as well is to not only have campus mentors, but community mentors, because there are plenty of people within our community, persons of color, and they don't even have to be persons of color, just people who have met challenges while they were completing their programs, who can offer that same type of encouragement. And those are the kind of connections that we want to see across not only the campus, but within the community.
All right, so we're getting ready to wind things down. Dr. Lopez, do you want to drop an email for everyone where they can reach you?
So there's a couple of ways they can connect with me. LopezST@gtc.edu.
What was that again?
LopezST@gtc.edu or Men of Color Scholars Program at gtc.edu.
Amazing. And as always, you can reach out to us at fablab.gtc.edu.
What was that?
Fablab.gt. I fell for it that time. Fablab.gtc.edu. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Steve, any final words to wrap us up?
Yeah, if anybody ever wants to come out to the SC Johnson IMET Center in Sturtevant, it's open to the public to see the Fab Lab. And there's some amazing things that we do in the Fab Lab that tie all these different areas together.
Robots, automation, anything you can possibly imagine.
Just come and explore your career potentials.
CNC.
See what's out there.
And special thanks to our guest, George Morgan. George, we really loved having you here
as well. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great show today, everyone. Special thanks to our guest today, Dr. Sam Lopez of Gateway Technical College, and George Morgan. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, I'm your host, Scott Nelson, for WGTD.